Hi, I'm Edward Sree, and welcome to All Things Catholic, where real faith meets real life.
Did you know that there's one book of the Bible that can help your prayer life, perhaps more than any other book of sacred scripture? Now, all of scripture, of course, is inspired by God, can be helpful for our growing in prayer, but there's one book that was specifically designed for prayer. It was used for prayer, and it serves as a model for us to enter into the highs and lows of the spiritual life, to present to God our needs, to give Him great thanks and praise, but also to meet Him in times of trouble, in times of sorrow, in times when we don't feel close to Him. This is an amazing book of the Bible, and Catholics are familiar with it, but they don't know how it all fits together. And that's what I want to get into in this week's podcast. The book we're going to look at is the book of Psalms. So welcome to All Things Catholic. I'm your host, Edward Sree. So excited to be here with all of you. And I'm going to just mention, in the month of March, as we continue our Lenten journey, I'm going to be journeying and different parts of the country, speaking at Lenten missions or some catechetical events in the diocese. So for example, on March 1st and 2nd, I'll be in Laredo, Texas for the diocesan conference there. And then on the following weekend, I'm going to be in Baltimore speaking on the 9th of March at the Baltimore Men's Conference. I'll also be doing an event for all college students and young adults at Johns Hopkins University. So anyone in the DC area, Baltimore Archdiocese, on March 8th, I'll be there Friday, March 8th at Johns Hopkins University at the Newman Center there. And then to my friends in the Twin Cities, I'm coming back to Minnesota twice in just a couple months. So I'm going to be up at St. Michael's Parish on the north side of the Twin Cities. So St. Michael's Parish, I'll be there on the 13th and 14th for their Lenten mission. And then I'm going to be driving down to the New Ulm Diocese, where I'll be doing their kind of Eucharistic Congress Diocesan Catechetical Leaders Conference. And then finally, I'm going to be doing a parish mission down in Miami, Florida. I'm really excited to be at St. Louis Catholic Church in Pinecrest, Florida, just outside of Miami. And that'll be Wednesday and Thursday, March 20th and 21st. If you're at any of these events, come up and introduce yourself. I always love to get to meet our listeners. But I want to talk about the book of Psalms. You know, in Lent is a great time to go deeper with the Lord, deeper in prayer. And I've been thinking about this book. We did some training on salvation history with our team directors in focus recently, and I was able to present a little bit more about the Psalms. It's a book everyone is familiar with because we hear it at Mass. We get one of the Psalms in one of the readings every Mass for the responsorial Psalm. But do you know how the Psalms all fit together? Do you know the different kinds of Psalms? Are you aware of how the Psalms can help you in your prayer life and meet God wherever you're at, in the highs and lows, the mountain peaks and valleys of life? And we all go through them, and the Psalms help us meet God in the events that unfold in our lives. You know, the book of Psalms is amazing, just even on a historic level. Just take it out of the realm of theology and religion for a moment. But just in the world of poetry, there's no other collection of poetry that has influenced the world more than the book of Psalms. And so it's a collection of 150 prayers or hymns that were used for private and public worship. So David, when he establishes his kingdom in Jerusalem and wants a temple to be built, he reorganizes the priesthood to not just offer sacrifices of animals, but also to offer a perpetual sacrifice of praise. And he has the Levites singing praises and thanksgivings constantly to the Lord. And so a lot of these early Psalms come from that period. Some of them are written by David, by Solomon, the sons of Korah, other Levites. They were used originally for public worship in the temple and also used for private worship in one's own personal prayer life. Now, there's 150 Psalms, but many people don't realize that these 150 Psalms are divided into five groups. And that's a really important point. There's a fivefold division of the Psalms. You can think of Psalms 1 through 41, 42 to 72, 73 to 89, 90 to 106, 107 to 150. We'll put all this in the show notes. But I want you to know that there's five different groupings of Psalms where you'll get 41 Psalms at the very beginning of the book of Psalms. And it concludes in Psalm 41, verse 13, with words of praise, a doxology. And then it picks up again with the next set of Psalms, Psalm 42 to 72. And then it concludes with another doxology. So there's these little markers, five sections of the book of Psalms. And when traditional explanation of this, why would we have five groups of Psalms? What's the significance of five groups of Psalms? It's because the book of Psalms recalls the five books of Moses. The first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, that was known as the Torah. And so those first five books of the law give us the narrative of the patriarchs and the Exodus and the journey to the Promised Land, the foundational history of God's people of Israel. And it gives us the many laws that were given, the Ten Commandments and the many other laws given on how to follow God and worship Him. So it's known as the Torah, these first five books of the Bible. The foundation of all of sacred scripture is right there in the Torah. And there's five books. And all the Jews knew that there were five books of Moses. And so when we see that there are Psalms that are divided into five different groups, it's reminding us that these aren't just nice little poems, nice little spiritual reflections and little private prayers. No, these prayers are orchestrated by God to be like the law in prayer, the law in the spiritual life. It's like the new Torah. It's recalling what God gave to Moses in five books of the law. He is now giving through David and through these Psalms, these five books of prayer and worship, because that law that was given by Moses is not just meant to be a law external on tablets of stone and something just to remember in your head. It's meant to be written in our hearts. And that's why the very opening psalm is all about praising God, thanking Him for His law, meditating on the law day and night. So it's all focused on having that law written on our hearts. And isn't that our desire as Catholics, as Christians, even in the New Covenant era, that we want not just to know the catechism? We don't want to just know about the sacraments. We don't want to just know about the moral life, the virtues, the Ten Commandments. We want God to write His law, His truth, His love on our hearts. And I can't think of a better book of the Bible to turn to help us do that than the book of Psalms. Now, there's different kinds of Psalms. Are you aware of the different kinds of Psalms that are out there? There's Psalms of praise. So for example, Psalm 103, verse 1 is just one little line of many, many Psalms of praise where the psalmist just gives praise to God, loves God, shows adoration toward God, and says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my being praise His holy name." And I think there's just many times in life where we sense that welling up within our souls. We just want to say, "Oh, I praise You, God. What a beautiful day. I thank You for this gift. I praise You. You're so good." You might have a moment in adoration and you sense God's love, His holiness, His goodness, and you just want to praise Him. And you just say, "Holy, holy, holy," or "Blessed are You, Lord God. Praise the Lord." So maybe we say these words out loud, maybe we say them in our heart, but there's this something welling up within us, a desire to praise God. That's what we're made for. We're made for worship. We're made to praise God. But to be honest, there's many other times in life where we don't feel that. We're exhausted. We're sick. We're stressed out. We're feeling left out. We're feeling blue about life. We're feeling like we failed at something. We're not feeling that emotion of praise coming up in our souls. And yet, the book of Psalms reminds us that we're still called to praise God day and night. Night and day, all of our lives we're called to praise Him. That even in our sufferings, even in our moments of disappointment, even in our trials, we still are meant to praise God. Now, we're going to get into other Psalms where we also pour out our heart and our need and our suffering and "Where are You, God?" And the Psalms beautifully bring that out. But I want us to never forget that even in our darkest moments, we should still rise again and praise the Lord still. "I praise You, Lord. This is really hard for me, what I'm going through right now. I don't know what my next steps are. I don't know why this is happening. I don't feel close to You now even." We can say those things to the Lord. And that's the beauty of the Psalms, because the Psalms are going to give us those moments in the spiritual life as well. But it also reminds us, even in those valleys, even in those low moments, do we still praise the Lord? Do you still acknowledge that He is God? And that even though we may not sense His closeness or wonder where He is or what He's up to in our lives, we still acknowledge, "Lord, You're God, and I trust You. I want to trust You. I praise You. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my being praise His holy name." I find that when I'm in those low moments, that even to say those words, "All my being praise His holy name," my being doesn't quite want to praise his name right now. I'm just being a little self-centered and, you know, focused on my own troubles right now. And it gets me out of myself for a bit and remember, God, you're still there. I know you're there, even though I don't feel you close to me. I know you're there. I trust you. And I still praise your name. Thanksgiving is another kind of psalm. Many psalms of thanksgiving. I think of the famous Psalm 118, verse 29. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. We're always giving thanks to the Lord. And again, there's many times in life where something really good happens. We just had a celebration for something in the office recently, and we're thanking God for his many blessings on a certain aspect of our ministry. And we had the whole office all come together. We had toasts and champagne, but we thanked the Lord. And we actually used this psalm. We said, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. So we thank him for his blessings in our lives. Maybe you're a student and you got a great grade and you say, thank you, Jesus. Maybe you got a promotion at work. Maybe your kid got into the college he was hoping for. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. This is a good thing and something we instinctively are meant to do. And the Psalms help us to express that thanks. We can thank him for a beautiful day. We can thank him for our health. We thank him for a relationship. We thank him for so many things. But most of all, we thank him for his gift of salvation. We thank him for how good he is, how much he loves us, how much he forgives us, how merciful he is. We thank him for the sacraments, for the church, all these things. But once again, I want to remind us that there's times in life where we don't feel the gratitude because we're feeling down. Things are hard. We're going through a difficult time, or maybe we're just busy and stressed out and we may forget to say thank you. So maybe things are going well in life, but we're just like really busy and preoccupied with projects at work and things we have to do on the home front. And there's just so much happening that we can forget to thank the Lord. That's why I love turning to the book of Psalms. It reminds us of the key essential ingredients of prayer, that even when I'm really busy, I should never neglect thanking God. I should never take God and his blessings for granted. I mean, every time I go to Mass, I should really thank the Lord for dying for us and for the gift of the Eucharist. And he's coming to dwell within me in Holy Communion to say, thank you, Jesus. What an amazing gift that is. Do we express gratitude enough to the Lord? The Psalms help us, remind us to say, thank you, Jesus, to thank the Lord for his blessings in our lives. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. So Psalms of praise, Psalms of thanksgiving, these are essential ingredients of a daily prayer life. We should always have this in there, and the Psalms remind us of this. There's another kind of a set of Psalms that scholars call wisdom Psalms, or sometimes they call them Torah Psalms. You might see in Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. So there are a number of Psalms that are reflecting on God's law, his revelation to us, his revealing of himself to us, who he is, and his plan for our lives. And the psalmists thank the Lord for this wisdom that he gives us. That God didn't just create us, throw us here on earth, and just trust we're going to just figure out life. No, he actually loves us so much, he showed us the pathway to happiness. He gave us his law. He gave us the Ten Commandments. He gave us the sacred scriptures. He gave us his church. He gave us the teachings. He gave us the catechism. All these things are meant to help us on our path. That's why the psalmist says, your word, O Lord, is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. I'm so thankful for your word. I'm thankful for your law. I love Psalm 119, verse 11. It says, I have laid up thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And what's fascinating is that word I've laid up. It's the Greek word syntyrim in the Greek translation of the psalm. It's the same word used to describe Mary, that Mary kept all these things in her heart. She's like the psalmist in Psalm 119 that lays up the word of God in his heart, that is pondering the word of God, that wants the word of God to fill their minds. That's what the ancient Jews wanted. And that's what we should want too. That's what Mary did. She kept all these things in her heart. We want to be like that. We don't want to just know facts about the faith. We don't want to just listen to a podcast like even mine. I'm grateful you all listen, but I hope you don't just listen and just go, oh, I learned some information. I hope that information, you know, that I'm passing on to you is not just facts. It's revelation. I'm passing on divine revelation from Jesus and the scriptures and the tradition of the church and the saints. But I hope that it's not just information in your head. Oh, that was interesting. I pray that it's laid up in your heart, that you keep it in your heart, that you allow God's word, you allow God's law, you allow the teachings of the Catholic Church to shape your life. That's what the Psalms remind us of. These wisdom Psalms, or sometimes called Torah Psalms, are reminding us that all that God has revealed is not just to make us smart, not just to get the right answers on a quiz, but they're meant to shape our hearts. And do I fill my mind? Do I make it a priority to fill my mind with the word of God, to fill it with his truth, to fill it with scripture, to fill it with the saints? Think about all the things that we tend to spend time on. We spend so much time on sports and on the news and just YouTube videos and TikTok and Instagram. And we spend all our time filling our mind with things that don't really matter that much. Not that any of those things are all bad in themselves. I'm not saying that. But in terms of priority, ask yourself, how much do you spend your time filling your mind with the Psalms or with the catechism or with a good Catholic book or the writing of a saint, compared to how much you fill your mind catching up on sports or catching up on the news or so following social media? What's the priority? The Psalm reminds us, Psalm 119, I have laid up thy word in my heart. Mary kept all these things in her heart. What are you keeping in your heart? The Psalms remind us to put God's word first. All right, what's another kind of psalm? This is the big one here, the Psalms of Lament. There are so many Psalms of Lament, so many times in the Psalms that we feel empty. We wonder, where is God? What is happening? Where is the Lord? You know, I think about some of these psalms in the scriptures. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Psalm 10, verse 1. Do you ever have moments like that where you feel like, why are you standing so far off, O Lord? Why do you seem to hide yourself in these times of trouble? Where are you, Lord? I think of Psalm 130, verse 1. Out of the depths I cried to thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Maybe you're going through a period where you wonder, where is the Lord right now? Why are you standing so far off? I'm going through this trouble, Lord. Where's your hand in this? Where is my life going? I'm crying out from the depths of my being to you, O Lord. I love these psalms of lament because they remind us that there's many times in our spiritual life where it's not going to be a bunch of roses. It's not going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be hard. And many of the saints went through these periods of darkness and dryness, and they cry out to God in lament. And yet, even the great saints like Mother Teresa, Saint Teresa of Lisieux, John of the Cross, in those moments of great lament, you really hear them cry out to God, and they're begging God, where are you? You can hear the echo of the Psalms in those times of darkness. And yet, they still praise the Lord, and they still thank the Lord, and they still ponder his word, his wisdom. In other words, like when you look at the Psalms really give us a roadmap for the spiritual life. And it's so beautiful when you put all the Psalms together. Sometimes we just focus on one aspect or the other, but we want to bring it all together. And I love how the Psalms are very human. I think of, you know, the famous Psalm 22 that we hear on Good Friday, because it's a psalm Jesus quotes. My God, why have you abandoned me? Or the other Psalms I just mentioned. Why do you seem so far off? I cry out to you in the depths of my being. Like those are real emotions that many Christians have at different periods in their life. And the Psalms invite us to bring our lament to the Lord, not to suppress it. I think some Christians think, oh, it's really bad if I'm kind of, you know, crying out like this to God. I shouldn't complain. No, read the Psalms. The Psalms are often complaining to God. No, they do it in a respectful way, but they are pouring out their hearts. What's happening? They're begging God for help. And we should do the same. God wants us to pour out our laments to him. And the book of Psalms helps us to do that. Okay, last two pieces, and these two go together, last two kinds of Psalms. There's the Psalms of Trust. I think about Psalm 62. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. He only is my rock and my salvation. For God alone, my soul waits in silence, for my hope is in him. He only is my rock and salvation. There's so many wonderful psalms, but Psalm 62 is one of my favorite psalms of trust. So we have Psalms of praise, thanksgiving, wisdom, lament, and trust. And I think this is a song of surrender. The language isn't just, hey, I trust you, God, or I want to trust you more. It says, God alone, for God alone, my soul waits in silence. He only is my rock and my salvation. These are great psalms to praise because they remind us of our true foundation in life and what our souls should be waiting for. I mean, many times when we're living life, what is our soul waiting for? I'm waiting for that promotion. I'm waiting for that relationship to work out. I'm waiting for the success of one of my kids in something, or I'm waiting for a success for me in a certain project. Like I'm waiting for my next thing. And that's what I'm waiting for. I'm thinking that's what's going to make me happy. That's where I'm going to get my security. That's where I'm going to find my meaning. But the Psalms of trust remind us that our soul should be waiting for God alone. That God is enough to fulfill everything. And if I don't have that point right, I'm going to end up very anxious and worried. Oh, I need this, and I need this recognition. I need this praise, and I need this money, and I need this comfort. I need this relationship. And I'm trying to control and manage everything. But the Psalm of trust, like Psalm 62, says, no, for God alone my soul waits. He only is my rock and salvation. None of those things are bad, but these kinds of Psalms of trust invite me to reorient my life, to really make Jesus the foundation. It's a great examination of conscience. And when we go to these Psalms, even to say these words, it just helps purify our intentions. Lord, I really want this. I don't like these changes in the parish. I don't like this change, you know, with my boss and what's happening in the workplace. I'm a little nervous about that. Go to Psalm 62, pray the Psalm of trust. No, my confidence isn't in what the company is going to decide, or my confidence isn't in what the pastor is going to decide. My confidence is in you, Lord. And whatever is going to happen here, it's going to work out for my good. You are my rock and salvation. Not my plan, not my scheme, not my dream. No, it's you. You're my rock and salvation. And these Psalms beautifully invite us just to surrender more. And I'll close with this one, the last kind of psalm of the royal psalms. And these psalms are praising God as the great king. But once again, I think it's related to this theme of trust and surrender. So there's the psalms that praise God for the king that's given to Israel, like David and Solomon. But it's also pointing to the future king, the Messiah, the heavenly king, Jesus, the one that we're called to worship. I think of Psalm 95, the Lord is king. The Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. So it's praising God. He's the king over all creation. So what do we need to do? The psalm goes on to say in Psalm 95, therefore, let us bow down and worship and surrender to him. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our maker, for he's our God. And we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would hearken to his voice, harden not your hearts. So these royal psalms, like Psalm 95 is one of the great ones, acknowledges God as king, but not just, oh, he's the great king of the universe. That's really nice. I acknowledge you as king and I praise you for that. And now I'm going to go do my own thing. No, it's connected to the Psalms of trust. You really are the king. You alone are my salvation. I trust in you. I fall on my knees before you, Lord. I surrender my life to you. I put my life in your hands. And I don't want to harden my heart. I want to follow your will. I want to hearken to your voice, not my own plan. I'm going to let go and surrender. I think the Psalms of trust and the Psalms of the royal Psalms of the kings, they actually are meant to be seen kind of together. Now, they're different Psalms. But in the royal psalms, you've got this theme of not just acknowledging God as king and praising him for it. That's beautiful, and we should do that in itself. But it's an invitation to then change your life and allow God to be your king in your heart. Is God the one really ruling over your soul? Is he truly number one? Or do you seek God to help you accomplish what you want in life? Do you seek God to, you know, hey, God, help me solve this problem. Help me get this thing. Or am I, no, Lord, I want to put my life in your hands. I bow my knee before you. I want you to use my life for your purposes. I don't want to use my life for my own plans. I want to use them for your purposes, Lord. What is it that you're inviting me to? Let us praise God through the Psalms. Let us thank him. Let us meditate on his wisdom and his Torah, filling our mind with the truth. Let's pour out our hearts to him in the lament Psalms and the sorrows in life, but always with great trust, knowing he is the true king and his plans and his will for us are always so much bigger and better than anything we could imagine on our own. So let's bow down and worship him as king and hearken to his voice. Thanks for listening, my friends. I hope this has been a fun journey through the Psalms. If you ever want to reach out to me, you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or you can always follow my website, edwardsri.com. That's edwardsri.com.